Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. JP and Bish from the Junkies hanging out this Saturday morning. Joe Beninati, the voice of the Capitol, is going to join us at 10:40 as we talk about hockey's return. But joining us right now is our pal F.P. Santangelo, color commentator for the Washington Nationals en masse. And what's going on, F.P.?
What's going on, gentlemen? Thanks for having me on. How's everybody doing?
What's up, buddy?
Nothing. Just getting excited about baseball, hoping it happens. A lot of good news on that front. So I'm looking forward to it, obviously.
What's the last month been like for you personally? It's been a while since we caught up. I think you were watching a lot of Netflix with your kids. What have you been doing lately?
Well, you guys are interrupting my morning TikTok session with coffee right now, so I have to call you out on that. I went down an airplane UFO tornado TikTok hole the other night for like 2 hours, and it just like kept getting, and it's like one tornado video and then an F-16 pilot in his cockpit. And then UFO sightings, and that's just where it went. And it's amazing how this – I was talking to a friend the other day about fried rice, and I turned on my TikTok, and the first one, the guy was making fried rice. So the whole thing is just weird to me. But I just get lost in it, and I've wasted too much time on it.
Yeah. FP, did you know that Jason actually chased tornadoes twice? Would you ever consider that?
Yeah, I did it twice. Yeah.
Really? Yes, absolutely. I'm a weather fanatic. If I wasn't in the booth, I'd be a weatherman somewhere or – my car would be all armored out, and I'd be chasing tornadoes in Oklahoma.
I did it, 08 and 09. I went out there. Remember the name Reed Timmer?
Yeah.
And that was on Discovery Channel. It was Storm Chasers. And I think the show was called Storm Chasers, right?
Yeah, I used to watch it.
So I went out there, and they were advertising. So I hooked up with those guys, and I flew out there and flew into Norman and hooked up with them. And traveled all over Oklahoma and Texas two straight years and was caught in multiple tornadoes. In fact, I've got a YouTube video where I'm actually caught in the middle of a tornado. It's really cool. Anyway, I was scared to death, but I would do it again. It was awesome.
You got to send me the link to that because I'm getting fired up just listening to it. We were in St. Louis like 4 years ago. Bob and I were in the booth, and the sirens were going off, and everyone was telling us to get undercover. And I was the only guy that ran out on the patio, and I'm standing there. And apparently a funnel cloud had touched down in downtown St. Louis and was coming down the street. And I was standing out there, and security was screaming at me and yelling at me. And I wanted to see it. So I'm right there with you. Ask Bob. I sit up in the booth during all the thunderstorms. And, I'm infatuated with weather. When we were in A-ball, we had a group called the Lightning Club. And we would assemble in the dugout, like 10 of us, and we had to ride out thunderstorms in the Florida State League in A-ball in the dugout. So, yeah, I'm a weather fanatic. I mean, as long as no one's getting hurt and there's not a lot of damage, like it's out in the middle of nowhere, I'm a big fan of checking out the weather.
Do you root for summer storms? Because I actually root for summer storms to come in, late afternoon, and I sit out on my front porch and I just make a cocktail and I just watch the clouds come in. I just love it. And I love the temperature decrease from like 92 to 75. I love it.
Isn't the radio great? You just never know where an interview is going to go.
I know.
I'm the same way. And this year, I don't care. Usually it's, come on, miss us because a tarp and a rain delay and I'm at the ballpark till 2 a.m. And this year with no baseball, I'm on my apps and I'm rooting for it to the thing to get stronger and to like hit right over my house. So I'm with you, man.
So at the end of the interview, off air, I'll get your cell and I'll text you the link to my video. It's like 5 minutes, but it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
You like it?
Awesome.
I just shared
Thank
it with you, Jason. I just sent you his number.
Okay. Cool.
Hey, by the way, FP, did you get your ring?
I did. I was a little apprehensive about it, and I felt a little strange getting it before the players. But I'm super grateful to ownership for voting me one and to have one. And out of respect for those guys and waiting till they get together to get their ring, I haven't posted on social media. I've just shared with my friends and family some pictures. But they are unbelievable.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, seriously. I'll put it up against any ring I've ever seen. So, yeah, there as a former player, there was a little bit of guilt involved. But logistically, this whole thing is just because of what's going on in the world. You got to do what you got to do. So it's no fault of anybody's because you have all these rings and you got to get them to who you got to get them to. But as a former player, I felt a little bit weird getting it before the players. But like I said, out of respect for those guys, because they're the reason why we're getting them. They're the reason that they brought us so much joy last October. So I'm just kind of sitting on it, and I've shared a few pictures with family and friends via text message. So, yeah, I was wearing it around last night, just wearing it around the house, sitting here, having a glass of wine, put it on, walk around. I mean, literally, it goes from the bottom of my ring finger to almost the top knuckle.
Oh, man. Is it heavy? It's probably heavy.
It's heavy, and it pulls your ring finger away from your middle finger, and it has this kind of a sense of, like, zero gravity, and I'm sure – And I'm more than willing to have some hand damage for this, like maybe the carpal tunnel or some tendon repairs someday. I'm okay with that. This is amazing. It is. I've seen a lot of championship rings, you guys, and I'm not just saying that. Everybody knows I'm a homer, but I'm not just saying that because, you know, the learners were so nice and ownership was so nice to vote us one. It's by far the best ring I've ever seen. It's unbelievable.
I bet. Yeah. Hey. Before we actually talk about the team and expectations, all that, what are your thoughts on Ryan Zimmerman contemplating not playing? He's got a new kid. He and his wife have a new 3-week-old baby. I didn't even know. I didn't know that she was pregnant. And then I didn't even know his mom had MS. I didn't know that either. So what are your thoughts on him possibly not playing this year? And it might be the last year of his career. Who knows?
Well, that's the first I've heard of it, and I'm not going to judge anybody on their decisions right now. So
you hadn't heard that?
No, I hadn't. I'm not up to date, you guys. I'll start to lock in here in a couple weeks. I'm hoping they get this thing off the ground. And, you know, obviously there's far more important things. And people's health and their decisions is their own choice. So
right.
If you're worried about that and you decide to sit out, that's your choice. There's no way I'm judging anybody in this thing because it's just it's what you believe. You've seen what's going on with the Texas Rangers. They had some employees in their office test positive, and I'm just hoping this thing gets off the ground because I'm very apprehensive based on what I'm seeing right now. That you know, in all my years playing baseball, and I'm not trying to be negative. You guys know that's the last thing I ever am. But in all my years of playing baseball and being in clubhouses, if one of us was sick, we all got sick. So I know they have protocols and a lot of stuff going on. I'm super excited for baseball to be back, but based on a lot of years of experience, I'm kind of wondering how they're going to pull it off. So I hope they do. I hope everybody's safe. And if guys decide not to play, then they decide not to play. And nobody should judge them for that because they're doing what they think is best for themselves and their families.
Joined by FP Santangelo, color commentator for the Washington Nationals on Masson. All right, so let's get into a couple issues or topics about the Nationals themselves. I saw a preview. We talked about this on the Junkie Show earlier this week, where ESPN, they went through their predictions of which teams in a 60-game season were most suited for a hot start and who could actually struggle and start off slow. And they threw in the Nationals. I think it was Eric Carabel. And he said because they lack bullpen depth. And I didn't agree with that. What do you think about the Nats bullpen entering this season?
Well, I mean, I think the whole thing's going to be interesting as far as how you manage it and how Davey manages and everybody approaches a 60-game schedule. You know, I personally think once, you know, everybody's up to speed, you manage it like Davey managing the playoffs. Because, I mean, every year I can hear Bob and I in the open saying, well, there's only 60 games left. It's time to go now. And if you're going to play a 60-game schedule, to me, you got to manage it like it's the playoffs every single game. That said, health is an issue and guys have to get up to speed. So I think you get guys to where they're ready to go, and then once they're ready to go, I mean, like Davey did last year, you do anything you can to win that game that night. There's no like, oh, get them tomorrow's. There's no, I mean, it's going to be an all-out sprint. So in that regard, everyone can guess right now. We're all guessing in a lot of different areas right now. It's just kind of the way the world is. So we'll see how this thing plays out. And I thought their bullpen was good last year at the beginning of the season in spring training. I thought with the additions they got and Rosenthal and Barraclough, so what do I know? But it looks like the bullpen's going to be rested. And when you talk about, you know, playing to the last day of the season and all these guys were tired, you know, you don't have that anymore, that factor. So everyone's going to be rested, and hopefully they all stayed in shape and they're ready to go.
You may not know the answer, but has Masson told you and Bob, will you guys be in the same studio or separate studios? Will you even be at the stadium to start when you call in the games?
We have a conference call on Monday to go over it. I've heard some things through the grapevine, through people that I work with, and I'm hearing that we'll be at the ballpark for all the games in our booth.
Okay,
so
cool.
That's all I kind of know right now. I don't even know if that's official yet. So,
are you okay with that? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one thing I would say if that is the case, which I'm not sure if it's official yet. And I am with Bob. He's 67 years old, so I have a responsibility myself to be responsible. I've been, you know, I'm wearing masks. And by the way, everybody wear a mask. It's not that hard. I've been wearing my mask. I've been responsible, and I think there comes a whole another level of responsibility to my partner and his age in this whole thing. So I'm sure there'll be safety precautions across the board. I'm hearing things that they're going to do, which, again, I don't know if they're official. Once they are, I'll talk to you guys about them. But there's going to be a responsibility by myself to conduct myself away from the booth in order that I don't get Bob sick. And I think, yeah, you know, that's something you have to be responsible about now with what's going on.
Hey, what were your expectations for Carter Kieboom pre-pandemic for this year? Were you excited to see him play? Do you think he can handle a full load? What are the strengths and weaknesses of him in your eyes?
I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest with you guys, I was kind of looking at that like, okay, is this going to work or not? I hope it does. I love the kid. I love the family. You know, I've got to know his brother and his parents over the years. And you know, Carter is a great kid. So I want to see if there's development there. And defensively at shortstop last year, he wasn't ready, whether it was because of, you know, he was kind of uptight or nervous about the situation. I didn't think he was ready defensively at short, and then it started to affect his offense. So, you know, we'll see how that whole thing progresses, and there's not a lot of time to, like, kind of bring him along, right? I mean, it's either going to work or it's not in a 60-game schedule.
Right.
You can't sit there and just, like, hey, you know, I mean, he's either going to come busting out of the gate and show he can play defense at third, which is what I want to see probably most. Can he handle that position? And I'm saying that, you know, people talk about, well, you know, he can't hit off speed because you couldn't hit off speed. Well, I sucked at third. I hated third. It was one of the hardest positions I played. So I'm curious to see if he can make that adjustment from shortstop to third. You know, when you're at shortstop, you're a lot deeper. You have a chance to read hops. The ball doesn't get on you quicker. Third base is more of a reactionary position where, you know, now you're almost like a goalie. You don't have a chance to pick out the hops. You have to be soft with your hands. And then, you know, you don't always have your feet underneath you because you're retreating to get a hop. Then you have to gather yourself. It's a long throw across the diamond. So for me, it was always the hardest position. So if he can get that, and I saw some signs in spring training, the short time we were down there, that's the key for me. I think he can hit. Last year, I think his defense affected his offense, and he started to slump toward the end. So I think he can hit. I just want to see, hopefully, the development at third base because we're all rooting for him. He's a great kid.
And then you just wonder how they're going to handle, as we talked to FB Santangelo, voice of the Nationals, DH, right? Especially if you've got no Zimmerman. If Zimmerman's there, and you got Zimmerman, you got Thames, you got Kendrick, I think you feel really good about it. But let's say Zimmerman decides not to play. Now what do you think about the DH?
Well, I mean, you got Thames, and you just go from there. I don't know. You guys, I'm going to tell you this. Like, I'm like, pull the curtain back. I'm not there yet. I haven't done any homework. I'm not ready to broadcast. I want to make sure. No, but I feel like I'm jinxing it if I start preparing a month ahead. You know, obviously I'll start locking in here as we get closer, but you know, I'm not going to sit here and BS you guys and say I'm ready to go and I'm locked in and I know everything about the Nats. I've been worried about more important things, to be honest with you. So I'm not there yet, and I'm not going to sit here and BS the fans.
I want to just – this is kind of a general baseball question just regarding the shortened season, but it's going to be interesting to see – you know, some players, as you know, FP, you know as well as anybody, they just start off hot. But some players, it'll take you 30 games to get in the swing of things, right? I mean, to get into a rhythm. But with a 60-game schedule, let's just say Trey Turner takes some 30 games to really lock in. I mean, you could be out of the playoffs by then if the team struggles, right? That's going to be a big-time issue too.
The one thing I would say, and you're talking to the slowest starter in the history of baseball, and in my April, I was like Ian Desmond. You remember Desi always had
yes.
tough April?
Right, right.
I was that guy too, so I could empathize with that. The one thing I will say is you don't have to deal with the cold weather now. And that's
true.
That's always a factor in the East Coast when you start a baseball season, playing in 40 degrees and you're blowing smoke. So, I mean, you're going to hit the ground running as far as playing in 90-degree weather. But, yeah, you're right. There's no time for a slow start. I don't know how you evaluate players either because, if you look at somebody's numbers, well, my first 50 games every year suck anyway, so what kind of contract are you going to give me? Or if for 60 games I hit 450, are you going to pay me – are you going to give me a five-year deal now? So I just don't know how you evaluate this moving forward for free agents. And it's just almost like, hey, like I said, in playoff baseball, you manage a certain way and you play a certain way. With playoff averages, you don't get paid for. It doesn't go on the back of your card. So you see a lot of selfless play during October baseball, meaning, I'm going to give myself up here and move the runner. My average and stats don't count. I'm not going to get paid for it. I'm just in this to win this. And I honestly think if there is a 2020 season, that's the way you got to approach it as a player. Like, how am I really going to get evaluated for this? And let's just do whatever it takes to win. And even if I have a crappy year on the back of my card, 2020, everyone's going to know what 2020 was about moving forward, and hopefully you don't get penalized if you have a bad season.
Have you actually talked to any of the players, current players, on the phone or texted them?
I have not.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
I have not. Like I said, I've been in my own little bubble here, and I do know as a former player that you can have 25 guys and 25 opinions too. So, when people always ask me, like, what's the mood of the team? Well, one guy's pissed, one guy's happy, one guy's confident, one guy has no confidence, one guy's ready to quit. I think it's the worst question in baseball, obviously, was what's the mood of the team? I don't know. There's 25 guys and
25 moods.
There's 25 moods. So I'm sure there's a lot of guys, that were ready to play and other guys that were looking toward the future of Major League Baseball. And I'm sure there's a lot of guys that are worried about COVID as they should be. And I'm sure there's a lot of guys that are like, let's go. I think about like 23-year-old me would be like, let's go.
Yeah,
but 53-year-old me is like, this is scaring the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And then you brought up a great point. I really hadn't thought that much about, people that sit in the booth, people that are calling the game. Like you said, Carp is 67 now. I don't know his medical history, but you have to worry about people that have pre-existing conditions and things like that.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not like they're just going to go all willy-nilly. I'm sure, they just go to the ballpark and do your thing. I'm sure we're going to be restricted in where we can go and when we can go and all that stuff. And
I mean, you may be in separate booths. We've talked about it as a radio show. We've been doing the show now from home for 3.5 months, doing Zoom, all four of us in different spots. And we've talked about maybe two of us return to the studio, but then they don't even want us in the same studio. So what's the point if one of us is in one studio and somebody's 20 feet away in a totally different studio?
Yeah, I say
you might as well broadcast from home.
Right.
Well, if you get Bob on and ask him that question, he'd probably scream for joy working with me for 9 years. And he would, if they tell Bob we're in separate booths, he would be like, are you serious? Can we make this permanent?
Right.
I feel bad that guy has to work next to me. I mean, we're literally, you guys have seen it, we're like 3 feet apart in some
right.
booths, 2 feet apart. So
I know.
I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world. And like I said, this is also weird. You guys, I'm all hands on deck. Whatever they want me to do, I've always been a team player. And anybody that bitches about anything this year just doesn't get it, because this is, this is all for, you just do what's best for everybody. And if this goes off, it goes off. And like I said, not to be negative, I'm still super apprehensive to see if this happens. And that being said, guys, I have tons of friends with Mass and my producer, my director, all the cameramen, the audio people, everybody that's involved with the broadcast, they're sitting at home right now unemployed. So mm-hmm. while I feel for those guys, and I empathize with those guys, and it's super difficult for them. They have families, and they're counting on baseball. So, you know, I hope it goes off for everybody's sake that I work with. I feel for those guys. I miss those guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing them.
All right, well, so FP, I'm going to send you. I'll send you that link to that video after we get off the air, or maybe after the show, and you can check it out. Okay.
I appreciate it. I think we got some boomers coming in today, so hopefully they're strong. They do no damage, but they get my blood going. Right now, thunderstorms are a sport for me. There's no sports, right? So when a good boomer rolls in, I'm on my app. I'm looking for it. I'm like a little kid. I'm getting excited. I'm like, oh, it's going to miss us to the north. Oh, it's going to miss us to – oh, this one's tracking. Here it comes, baby. So hopefully there's some this afternoon.
Yeah,
do you watch it? Jason watches on his screened-in porch. What do you do, FP?
Well, I go upstairs in my bedroom. I have a skylight in my bedroom. Nice. And I'll actually be outside until I get a little, like, nervous. Like, if a bolt hits close, like, that's good. I go inside. And then if they're starting to, like, hit real close where it's the sound and the lightning at the same time, then I get away from the window. So I'm safe about it, but it gets my blood pumping, man. I'm weird like that. And maybe it's because of, you know, all the years of playing in Indianapolis and West Palm Beach and Harrisburg and all the, you know, being a California kid where we didn't have thunderstorms. I'm infatuated with them.
By the way, I don't know this. Is FP Santangelo a golf guy?
Used to be. When I lived in San Francisco, I golfed like 5 days a week. And since I've been in D.C., I haven't golfed at all for 9 years. I mean, once a year maybe now. And I used to golf like 4 or 5 times a week and was addicted to it. But, you know.
Who was your best teammate player? Who was the best that you played with?
LeVon. He was my teammate in San Francisco. LeVon Hernandez could have been a pro golfer. He's amazing.
Really?
Yeah, he's got the John Daly swing where the club head comes back all the way over. And
yeah.
Yeah, but now I choose to go out late at night and drink and sleep in versus get up and rent a car. Bob gets up and rents a car on the road. They go golfing at like 7 o'clock every morning. I'm just getting in, and they're going out. So I've decided to have fun after the game and then sacrifice my golf game.
Smart.
Well, FP, man, really appreciate you joining us this Saturday, man. Stay safe, and hopefully things will come back and return smoothly for the Nationals. And like you said, for all those people that aren't working, I mean, it's a great point.
Yeah, I hope the season happens for those guys. I hope it's safe. And everybody wear a mask. It's not that hard. Just wear a mask, really.
Yep.
It's not that difficult.
Appreciate it, FP.
All right, guys. Take care.
See you, man. Thanks
That's
for the
FP
time.
FP Santangelo, who apparently is a big thunderstorm fan. Like
yeah, I'm
Jason
looking at the
Bishop.
Hourlies right now. Just went to weather.com, and it's a very small percentage in Ashburn today. Like 15% is the highest, so maybe in wherever he is, there's a better chance. But I get very disappointed on hot, humid days when we don't have storms. I really do.
Well,
kind of ruins my day.
Because hot humidity sucks when you're just walking around.
I hate it. So I always want, if it's going to be hot and humid, all right, that's fine, but give me a storm at about 4 o'clock.
And I especially don't like hot and humid when the pools aren't open. Now, my pool's opening on Monday, so that'll be big.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
All right, we've got Joe Beninati joining us in 15 minutes, so we will talk to the voice of the Caps about hockey's return and more. Keep it here. It's JP and Bish from the Junkies hanging out Saturday morning on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. JP and Bish from the Junkies hanging out this Saturday morning. Jason's got me doing some work on YouTube trying to figure out how to send his tornado video to FP Santangelo.
Yeah, if you want to watch it, just go to YouTube, and then in the search bar at the top, just type in surrounded by tornadoes in Oklahoma, May 10th, 2010. If you just put in surrounded by tornadoes, it'll probably just come up, but there's a bunch of different videos, but mine is May 10th, 2010.
Is it the video by Longy Doggy?
It's the video by Longy Doggy. Terry Rosema was the guy who was my buddy who was in the car with me. Yes, Long Doggy. Yeah, 10 years ago, man. I can't believe it was 10 years ago. That was so fun. Love to do it again. I should.
But didn't your kids freak out?
They did. My oldest freaked out. But, you know, she was 10 years old or 9. She'd be fine now. She wouldn't care. Go ahead, Dad. Right, go ahead. Go, Chase.
All right. I think I figured out a way to send the link, and I copied you on the link, too. So it went to FP and to you. So then you can add a little caption to it if you want.
Well, thank you, John Paul.
All you got to do is, well, see, I have an iPhone. You've never had an iPhone. I just right-clicked on the link.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out. Not with my poopy phone. Which I love, by the way. I love this phone.
It's interesting hearing from FP that he just doesn't kind of want to jinx it. And I guess I can understand that, because as excited as we are about the baseball season starting and the NBA returning, when you start hearing like the news, like in the NBA, they started testing, right? And I think over 5% of the players tested positive. And you just wonder if that's going to change what some of these players think about returning to the court.
I'm with you, especially in the state of Florida, where you're seeing the surge in positive cases, you know, when more people are getting tested and you're seeing the positive cases. I don't know anything about the stats with the hospitalizations, but if more people are testing positive, maybe the players say, you know, it's just not worth it. Don't want to get my family sick. I just talked to a buddy. I'm not going to say who, but I just talked to a buddy whose daughter got tested. She was hanging out with some friends a couple weeks ago, and some of those girls tested positive. So she said, I better get tested. She's got it. She's asymptomatic. She's feeling fine, but she's got it.
It's tough.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a good question about the NBA players. I don't know if I'm sure there'll be a faction that will, you know, you're going to see more positive tests here in the next few days or weeks, and then it'll be interesting to see how they react to it and if they decide just to bail.
Now, I didn't hear the interview. I picked it up from context. When you guys talked to David Sampson, I was off that week. Did he talk? I know that he's been kind of been talking about the NBA for whatever reason, even though he's a baseball guy and was the president of the Marlins back in the day. Did you guys talk to him about what he believes could potentially be a scandal where the Lakers players have been getting together and practicing, which is against the rules? He thinks it's as bad as PEDs.
Yeah, I saw the headline of that, but we didn't talk to him about that in particular, I don't believe.
Like, what can the NBA do about it? It is kind of cheating. Like, if all the teams are instructed, hey, you can't have practices, you can't get together and do this, and yet LeBron's organizing something, they've found a court, and they're doing it, it's a huge advantage, right? If the Lakers are doing it, but the Rockets and Nuggets and Clippers aren't doing it,
what's the recourse?
I don't know.
I mean, you're not gonna penalize LeBron.
I don't think Adam Silver is ultimately gonna do anything. I saw that the NBA schedule came out, and shocker, they're gonna open with Lakers, Clippers, and Zion Williamson.
Zion early 6:30. Of course. 6:30 on TNT, national TV games, and then the 9 o'clock tip will be LA and LA. Yeah. So you got Zion, you got LeBron.
Real quick, can you give me a Phil Mickelson update? Because I think when we started the show, you said he was about to tee off.
Yep, he's through five. So you got Mackenzie Hughes leading at 13 under. Brendan Todd, Phil Mickelson, Will Gordon all at 12. So he's dropped one. Brendan Todd's actually playing pretty well. So Phil's one over through five. There's five guys at 12 under, one back of Mackenzie Hughes. So a lot of golf to be played. You know, he's only five or six holes in. Abraham Anser, who played really well last week, is T2. He's 12 under. He's 4 under through 8.
I'm pulling for Phil.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard. Some of these younger guys are really starting to play well. It's going to be hard for Phil to go low again. But
I mean, I saw
it'll be a great story.
I was surprised. I mean, I feel like he's been contending the last several years, but I saw that he's only won two tournaments in the last 6 years.
Yeah, he won last year at Pebble Beach, and that was his last win. But, I mean, look, he was 49 last year. That's asking a lot for him to win. The fact that he's shooting 64, 63 on back-to-back days at age 50 is unbelievable.
And, of course, he lost the challenge, too, because he was paired with Tom Brady.
Right. And he's got a new look. He's wearing those sunglasses. He never used to wear sunglasses. Now he's got a new look with the shades. It's kind of weird.
Gotcha.
So we are going to talk to we'll switch sports. We'll go from baseball to hockey next, correct? We're going to talk to Joe Beninati.
Joe B is going to join us. Capitals, of course, when the season came to a close, they were still atop the Metro and were contending, hopefully, for another Stanley Cup. So we will talk to the voice of the Washington Capitals next. It's JP and Bish hanging out this Saturday morning right here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. JP and Bish from the Junkies coming to you live this Saturday morning. Had some great interviews already, Jason. Andrew Brandt was fantastic and FP Santangelo. But one of our favorites joins us right now, the voice of the Washington Capitals on NBC Sports Washington. It's Joe Beninati. What's up, Joe B?
Hey, JP. Hey, Bish. Hope you're doing well today.
We're hanging in there. How's the last couple weeks? How have they been for you? What have you been up to?
I've been pulling my hair out, just trying to stay sane. And more than anything, the thing that keeps me happiest is when I occasionally sneak out and play some golf. But aside from that, I'm getting tired of staring at these four walls that are in my quote-unquote Zoom room or wherever I do any sort of business-related talks like these. I'm getting tired. I was saying earlier to Chad earlier in the week, you know, all season long, you're always like, boy, I wish I could spend some more time at home. This would be great if I could just spend some time. I've spent way too much time at home.
You're done with it.
Besides golf, does Joe B have it? Do you have any hobbies that occupy your time? Like, do you watch news on TV? Do you watch Netflix? Like, what fills the day?
I'm not a huge reader, JP. Although I have read a couple of books during the pandemic pause. If we're going to refer to it that way,
a couple more than me.
Yeah, more than anything though, I wind up staring at the boob tube and. Yeah. I get to be fascinated by old sporting events that get to be reheated, some of which I'm lucky enough to call so I can actually review my work. But I'm watching movies more than anything else. But after a while, there's only so many times you can watch The Town or Casino Royale or over right. and over and over. I keep watching the same damn thing.
Well, The Town's excellent.
I can watch The Town every single day the rest of my life.
Bish, every time I turn the channel on and it's there, regardless of it's the first 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes, I stay stuck to it. So it's one that definitely demands that I keep the channel right where it is. But other than that, I just sit in the chaise lounge or sit in the chair and flip and get more and more pissed off about wondering what's going to go on in our world right now.
By the way, Jason, I'm that Joe B loves the florist. He loves it.
Oh, yeah, he does. By the way, I'm glad that you pronounced the Chase Lounge correctly. Eric always pronounces it Chase Lounge, and it just tilts me. It tilts me.
I wouldn't expect anything more. Come on. Right. Bickle gets it right after a while.
Hey, so give us an update. So I guess the NHL is going to move into phase three with the formal training camps on July 10th. So what's that, next Friday?
That's the hope. Yeah, that's the hope.
Or 2 weeks from now. Yeah, so two Fridays from now. Okay, so give us an update on that.
So here's the deal. In the best case scenario, we are doing that. And what's going on now is you're getting a lot of players coming back to their home markets. I think at one point, guys, there were like 56% of the players in the league were outside of their home markets. 17% of the total players in the league were outside of North America. So a lot of those guys now have to get back in. They have to pass through some quarantine. They have to obviously get tested and all this, that, and the other thing. But you're seeing more and more players return to their home cities. Phase two was voluntary. And I think some people understand that, some people don't. Phase two was the smaller groups that you're occasionally seeing highlights of now from MedStar Capital's Iceplex. It originally started at six. Now you can put 12 players on the ice with a limited number of coaches, all the social distancing, et cetera, et cetera. That was all voluntary. Players didn't have to be in their home markets for that. Phase three, fingers crossed, is the full training camp. And they've set a date for that, but we know anything, if we've learned anything in the last few months, is that things can be fluid. Yes, they would like to start full formal training camp, full coaches, by July 10th. The thought process being, give the guys 2 full weeks, as in a training camp setting, and best case scenario, start the return to play, the qualifying round, and then ultimately the first round of the playoffs. That target date was somewhere in the last week of July, first week of August. They haven't set a formal hard date for that. But what you're hearing is July 10 training camps. What I was hoping to hear, JP and Bish, was I was actually hoping yesterday that the league was going to also announce the hub cities, right, where they actually were going to try and return to play. I was under the impression that that would be done by the weekend, so we're only at Saturday. There's still time. But the thought process is July 10th to have everybody back in, tested, ready to go for a formal camp, 2 weeks of camp. Then they would travel to wherever the two hub cities would be. There will be one, from what I understand, one what they're going to call an exhibition game. Get the guys' feet wet. They'll partner up teams, and they'll play that exhibition. And then we'll get into the formal return to play, which includes the Capitals in that round-robin little three-game tournament with the top four seeds in the East, and also includes the qualifying round with the other 16 teams playing in to get to the formal first round. I swear, I just want to call hockey games. I didn't know that I was going to have a degree in advanced mathematics from MIT and a Harvard Law degree. This is insane.
It's so confusing.
Do you care where you call the games from? Are you going to be calling them from home, from a studio? Would you go to the hub city? Would you be in the same booth with the locker? Do you know?
Yeah, so JP, the only thing that I would think that I know, and I haven't been told this formally, the only thing that I would guess that I know is that the local rights holders, the RSNs, NBC Sports, Washington, et cetera, Madison Square Garden Network, et cetera, that they would not be, we would not be on site in the hub cities. As far as I understand, with respect to the hub cities, each team going to, you know, the 12 going east, the 12 going west, wherever they are, those teams can only bring 50 total personnel. So you're going to have extended rosters. You're going to have probably upwards of 30 to 32 players. That leaves only 18 other spots for coaches, for equipment managers, for head athletic trainers, massage therapists. That only leaves 18 spots. So the fact that we would want to be there, obviously, I think more than likely for safety's sake, the local rights holders in that round robin round and in the first round of the playoffs are more than likely going to be doing games from the studio, I'm assuming at NBC Sports Washington. Obviously the alternative would be the whole Zoom room at home, but you're really that's a little bit risky to be calling a game from your house isolated like that. So I think best case scenario, they're going to try to make as many arrangements to have me and to have Locker on set, obviously at a safe distance, maybe even, you know, with dividers, but more than likely we'll be calling the game off of a TV monitor from the studio.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that as we talked to Joe Beninati, voice of the Washington Capitals. We all know that Locker's wife, she would fall in a vulnerable category. And when we talked to FP Santangelo, he was talking about working alongside Carp, who's 67 years old. It's like you have to worry about those things. Could you even – I don't know if you'd be willing. Would you call with a mask? Could you call with a mask?
You know, the voice quality would be affected. If those are the parameters and those are the protocols – then you have to do it.
Right.
I'm assuming, and when we watch, like I do watch a lot of golf on television, and I noticed with respect to the match that Tiger and Phil had with Brady and Manning, that the three on-site announcers were literally in divided rooms. I'm also seeing on Golf Channel that their anchors, their hosts, when they're in Orlando, they're on set, they're not wearing masks, they're not physically divided by any plexiglass. But again, in these crazy times, we'll do what we have to do. I have not spent that much time talking behind a mask. You know, when I wear the mask to go to the supermarket or go to pick up something, you're not having a lot of conversation. But if it has to be done that way, it will. I know there are those plexiglass, almost like eye shields, that maybe could be extended and clipped onto a sports headset. Maybe that's the way to go.
Right.
So, in other words, like the fabric wouldn't be against your face or against your mouth, per se, but you'd still be protected. Sort of like the eye shields you would see a doctor or a nurse wearing. Maybe that's something that comes in. I know, in fact, to relate it all back to hockey, the company Bauer makes face shields for hockey players. They're actually now making those shields for those people at the front lines in the medical profession.
Mm.
They've converted a lot of their production to building those face masks for doctors and nurses on site.
So getting back to the cities and the schedule, and you probably don't even know yet. So I've heard that the leaders in the clubhouse are Vegas and Toronto. That could change. But let's just say Toronto was the Eastern Conference. Are there multiple rinks that they would use, or would they just use one rink and then just have staggered games at that one arena?
Yeah, so that's the big thing with regard to what makes a host city a best candidate to be a hub city. In my humble opinion, and this is just my opinion, a city like Edmonton would be really good because you have a lot of the best amenities in that one facility all connected. There's a 5-star hotel connected right to the rink in Edmonton. The rink in Edmonton has the big rink, 19,000 fans, plus a practice facility inside the underneath the same roof. They've got 12 to 15 NHL-capable dressing rooms in that facility. The city of Edmonton has gone out of its way to make a campaign pitch to the league saying, we will be, you know, the best bubble scenario, the best quarantine scenario possible. We'll give you X, Y, and Z. All of these cities are behaving as if they're trying to host an Olympic village. And how well you can quarantine those villages to keep the players safe from COVID. Oh, by the way, there's barely been any cases in Edmonton, Alberta.
Hmm.
But the players and the Players Association and the Board of Governors, they've been in discussions together the whole time. And I think for the most part, there's been a lot of cooperation. I think everybody wants to return to play, but the players, Bish, have not actually voted yet on the return to play protocols for phase 3 or 4. That's something that still needs to be voted upon. And I think we saw maybe a week ago that the NBA's 117-plus page protocol report was submitted where we could see it publicly. I don't think we've seen that yet as to what the protocols will be on the NHL players.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how strict and how rigid those protocols will be and what the players will have to vote upon. So we're not there yet. We still have hoops to jump through. But from what I understand, Vegas has been a front runner from the beginning, and I'm sure the players would like to play in Vegas. But again, it's not like you're going to be allowed to roam the city streets. I just think they're going to be trying to quarantine and keep these guys sheltered in place as best as possible. But Vegas and Toronto are two very attractive players, very attractive cities to NHL players. L.A. is a possibility, but I still think Vegas is the United States front runner. Chicago's been included, but I think they're a distant third. And now we're down to either Edmonton or Toronto north of the border. There are some things that would hamper teams from the United States if the hub city is in Canada. You know, how do you get a lot of your supplies across the border? Do the conditions there going through customs, does that make it difficult to get Braden Holtby a new glove or Alex Ovechkin a dozen sticks here and there? Does that create a problem?
Right.
I think for the most part they would like to have one hub city in Canada and one in the United States, but who knows? That decision I thought was supposed to come out this weekend, so I think we're all waiting on that.
Huh. Yeah, I'm reading here that the number of positive cases, COVID-19 tests, have been obviously on the rise in the United States. The NHL is not planning on placing teams in quarantine bubbles when training camps open on July 10th. So
that's the July 10th. So they're going to come in, they're going to get tested,
right.
They're going to ask to be as cautious. You know you're going to ask them to be as cautious as possible, but no, they're not going to prevent Alex Ovechkin from going to the supermarket.
Right.
They're not going to do that. They
and
will.
In the NBA, they are doing
get
that.
To the bubble. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's the difference. In the NBA, you probably know this, the NBA, when they get to Orlando, the players have to stay in their hotel rooms for 48 hours, can't leave, besides going to get something to eat.
Bish, I'm going to guess that when we find out the hub cities, shortly thereafter, the NHL protocol will come down with a big 100-page document, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's very, very similar.
Yeah.
So the players are going to have to agree to that. They haven't voted upon that yet, and I'm sure they're starting to see, or they might have seen a whole good chunk of it, but they haven't seen the final whack of it, and then we haven't had that vote yet.
Last one before we let you go, and I don't know that you know the answer to this. How many of these guys have been staying in shape? How many guys have been skating? How long will it take for them to actually get ready?
Yeah, it's a great question, and there's a slight chance. First of all, let me say this, and I've said this numerous times on multiple different outlets, especially with Chad. Anybody who tries to handicap this tournament is lying to you, because you have no way to know how teams are going to return after such a long layoff. In many cases, even a normal regular season, postseason, Stanley Cup tournament, and then the time between that and a normal training camp, you're never off the ice for 4 months. The advantage maybe for the Capitals, and maybe if you're looking for a silver lining, is Washington does have a lot of European players. Many of those guys have been home, and they've actually been allowed to skate. They've been on the ice, as opposed to John Carlson, who lives here in the area, who hasn't been on the ice for a much longer time than, let's say, Dmitry Orlov.
Sure.
If Dmitry went back to Russia. So a lot of those European players have been on the ice. I know the Swedes have. I think Backstrom's obviously been on the ice more so than anybody who's stayed here in North America or stayed specifically in the D.C. area. So when we saw the return to play phase one, phase two with the smaller groups, you saw four or five Capitals on the ice at MedStar Capitals Iceplex. Someone like Tom Wilson, who's from the Toronto area, was quoted about a month ago saying he hadn't touched his skates since the second week in March. These guys are all phenomenal athletes, JP. They're in great shape. They'll remain in great shape. But there is something about hockey skating muscles that you can't duplicate. And that's why they're going to give these guys as much time as possible. Right now, the guys are on the ice trying to get their legs, in those smaller groups, 6 to 12. Then they're going to give them at least 2 full weeks to go through, hitting and conditioning drills. There's no way to replicate, simulate the push and pull of a hockey game. And that's where some of those injuries might prop up with respect to, the muscular soft tissue injuries from just not being in skating shape. And then more than anything, for me, the spotlight's going to shine on the goalies.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been taking shots for months. That's
right.
Something that requires great timing. And in the crease, to behave the way Braden Holtby and Ilya Samsonov do, they need to be so explosive and reflexive. Well, they've been off for a long time. They've got to get those muscles back and do so safely. So, in fact, if I understand correctly, the league is allowing you to bring as many goalies as you'd like to the play-in round and to the Stanley Cup playoffs, to that group of 24, just in case some guys get nicked, just in case some guys suffer muscle pulls. And the goalie position is one area where it might happen.
Yeah, there's going to be – you're right. There's so many issues and so many unknowns that we just don't have the answer to. By the way, I was just reading also that it's kind of a breath of fresh air that the league and the Players Association are apparently close on a new CBA. I know you were just kind of talking about that.
Yeah, that's the one to really watch carefully, Bish, because
yeah.
I'm surprised that all of a sudden – there's been some linkage to the return to play that we're trying to unfold in July, August, and the new CBA. During the course of the season, we had heard that that ownership, management, and the Players Association were going along nicely, that the talks were very cooperative, and that things were going in place to hopefully have, you know, no work stoppages or labor disputes, or, you know, have harmony moving forward. But all of a sudden, in the last couple of days, I've seen some players tweeting and agents tweeting that, you know, maybe now is the time to use some leverage. So that's an area that you bring up. I know it's at the end of our interview, but that's an area that you bring up that bears watching, because
Right. That
could be a little brush fire there. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that there's no issue and that we go smoothly. Everything unlike baseball, what happened. So let's hope that that happens for hockey's sake.
Yeah, I was going to say, because baseball was just a forest fire, and still will be.
That's what you don't want, and I don't. All of a sudden, I started to see some smoldering where there hadn't been any signs of that. I don't know. I'm not sure why these two are being linked together. So that bears for all of us to watch.
Joe B., always a pleasure. Hopefully, you'll find something to do today and maybe get out and play some more golf.
Or watch.
I'd like that. I really would. Thanks for spending some time with us on Saturday.
Or, yeah, man. Or watch some golf, because Phil Mickelson's, you know, he's tied for the lead. 50-year-old guy tied for the lead, but Dustin Johnson's on fire today. He's right on his butt, so.
Lefty going low. Figured he'd tear up that place in Hartford.
Yeah, well, DJ's 5-under through 11, so he's going low today. But all right, so appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon, Joe.
Guys, I had fun. Thanks.
Yeah, man.
Joe Beninati, voice of the Capitals. We've still got Travis Thomas joining us at 11:20. And if you missed an interview on the Junkies from earlier this week, fascinating conversation with Dr. Tom Mayer, who is the medical director for the NFLPA. So if you think it's a slam dunk that the NFL is coming back, you want to listen to this interview, because he talks about the danger zones in particular for a certain group of players in the NFL. It's JP and Bish hanging out on a Saturday morning right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.